Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Cosmo Happy Hour. It's everything you would talk about with your best friends, from sex to celebrity to entertainment.
From the editors of Cosmopolitan.com, this is the Cosmo Happy Hour with Alisa Benson.
We are in the thick of wedding season right now. The editors at Cosmopolitan.com are basically going to weddings every weekend. That's all we talk about in our work chat besides, you know, work. And we've noticed that the traditional bride is not as common these days. So many women out there are planning weddings off the beaten path. We asked our married Cosmo girls to share with us their non-traditional wedding themes, and we heard so many amazing responses, ranging from bridesmaids and groomsmen dressed as Jedis from Star Wars to an entire wedding that revolved around the groom's love of fishing. Needless to say, I can't resist but dive a little deeper and talk about this trend of throwing a themed wedding. I'm Lisa Benson. This is Cosmopolitan.com's Happy Hour podcast. And even though I've never had a wedding, that is what we are talking about all day today. Joining me on the panel today is Cosmopolitan.com's associate editor, Tess Komen, who is here because she just had a wedding.
I did. It's over.
It's over. Tess, this podcast was loosely inspired. I mean, we were kind of talking about crazy weddings. We write about them on the site all the time. You've written a handful of posts about them, but this was in part because you just finished your wedding and I feel like you were feeling such like a post-wedding like summertime sadness about it.
That's exactly what it was, some kind of like withdrawal,
right?
That we're slowly getting over,
right? So does it help your withdrawal to just be spending the next like 40-ish minutes talking about weddings?
Yeah, of course. I think that the more I can talk about weddings, the happier
the better. Exactly. And I do want to clarify, you did not have a crazy themed wedding. Did you have any kind of like, you had like a regs wedding, but a very special, beautiful one?
It was a special, beautiful, uber Jewish wedding.
Uber Jewish wedding.
So in that way, it was themed. Yeah.
Did you have any kind of like, did you do the Pinterest board? Like, did you have kind of like a theme or inspo in your mind?
I hate to be this person, but I really love the whole Beauty and the Beast aesthetic.
Oh.
So when I was Pinteresting.
Very trendy right now.
Very trendy right now. So when I was on Pinterest and when I was meeting with all the vendors, like that was the idea I had in mind.
Like fairy tales, castles, romance.
Yeah, like super candlelit, lots of like golds and ambers and purples and just like a very pretty romantic kind of thing.
I spent like basically the first day you were back from your honeymoon, I made you show me all your wedding photos on your phone. It was so beautiful. And I also want to talk for a second, not that, again, this has anything to do with crazy wedding themes, which is the actual topic of today's episodes, but your bridesmaids looked so gorgeous.
Thank you.
Like, for people who haven't seen a photo on your phone of your bridesmaids, can you talk through kind of what they were wearing and, like, the theme there?
Yeah.
It was very, like, Pinterest goals.
It was very – thank you so much. That's the first time I'm hearing that. But I was really into the whole mismatching thing that I'd seen a million and four, you know, beautiful brides do. And this designer, Jenny Yu, who's like right by Penn Station for anyone who's in New York.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
I didn't know she was like down the street.
Yeah, no, it was so easy for almost everyone involved. She just makes a few dresses, but in a million and four different colors.
Yeah.
So it's really fun to like mix and match. So my maid of honor was in like rose gold sequins, which was insane. And she actually got
like a full sequin dress.
Full sequins.
Yeah.
She actually got caught on my tulle at one point and then I banished her to the other side of the pictures. But she looked incredible. And then my other bridesmaids were alternating in dresses that were chai and fig colored, respectively.
What is chai and what is fig?
Chai is like a pinky nude.
Yeah. It was almost like a champagne-y.
Yeah.
Rosé.
That's exactly what it was. It was like a nude rosé.
Yeah.
Like a white wine. I don't know what it was. And Fig was like kind of a muted purple.
Yeah.
So when you put those two next to the rose gold sequins, it looked really, really pretty.
It was so pretty.
Thank you.
It was so pretty. It was so like girly and so like 2017 and yes. just like absolutely gorgeous. And like I feel like fit in with the sort of like dark glamour of the candlelight and yes. the like gold.
That was the idea.
Yeah. And so your wedding was beautiful. Have you been to any, have you attended any crazy themed weddings?
Not a themed wedding, but it's funny that you say Star Wars. I did go to one in Seattle whose groom walked down the aisle to the Star Wars theme song, but really like loud and all of a sudden. So it took everyone off guard. And then nothing else had to do with Star Wars right. for the rest of the day.
It's almost like, is that weirder to like not have a Star Wars themed wedding, but just like throw that like anthem in there for yeah. that crucial moment?
Debatable. I, you know, he was happy. It was a great wedding. So yes and no.
Wait, what song did you walk down the aisle to?
Can't Help Falling in Love with You, whatever that Elvis song is.
I love how I thought you I thought for a second you like forgot. But
I
no,
didn't
you
forget.
Knew it was on the tip of your
but
tongue.
Michael, my husband, walked down to Justin Timberlake's My Love. Which he love. Really insisted on because he was like, everyone will know and just be so, like, impressed that I chose that song. It's like, okay, that's what they'll think, sure.
Right, exactly. A good JT moment. I yeah. love that. And do you have a favorite, like, crazy-themed wedding from pop culture?
God, I keep seeing these, like, Jurassic Park dinosaur photoshopped weddings.
Yeah.
Where the bride and groom and the bridal parties are, like, make-believe running through a field that doesn't exist and there's a Photoshop dinosaur behind them.
Right.
Do you know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. My sister did the engagement photos a few years ago when she got married that were sort of like a fake zombie attack.
I love that. I've definitely like written a post that is the TK most photoshopped crazy
yeah.
wedding pictures of all time.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I've seen the zombie one. I also just this morning pitched a story about a groom and his groomsmen who were all wearing football helmets.
Oh.
Because they like football and his new wife wanted to make him happy. So there's a
oh
bunch of pictures if you Google it. It's like Miami Dolphin football helmet wedding.
Oh my God.
I
cannot imagine if all my wedding photos had men wearing football helmets. That yeah. actually sounds terrible. But in general, I think this theme of crazy weddings, like for one thing, it feels a little inevitable with social media. Like all these images are getting shared. I think people get really inspired by like, even if you don't know somebody that's had a crazy wedding or a crazy themed wedding, you've seen the pictures all over your feed. You've seen them on Cosmo and elsewhere. So I think that makes people feel, it gives people permission to feel like their day can be creative beyond the sort of traditional wedding themes that we're all kind of used to. So I think that's kind of fun. And I also yeah. think it's like, you know, because you just got married, it's like a wedding is hella expensive. And if you're going to drop all this money, like you know, people are always looking for ways to make their special day memorable. And what's yeah. more memorable than Star Wars?
I think a lot of people are setting the bar very high with their themed engagement shoots.
Yes.
And then there's only one way to go from there.
Right. You can't have like dinosaur engagement photos
yes.
and then have just like a basic wedding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of intriguing to track the trend of just insanely creative engagement shoots.
Yeah.
One that comes to mind was that crazy hunting one where a bride was hanging a groom upside down like an animal she had just
shot. Oh my
God,
I didn't even see that.
And it was
like,
I caught him. Okay. Congratulations.
Oh my God, that is like
pun
overload. I have to say, I feel like the other sort of like mage trend that is happening at RN is like the drone photography. Which of course, like at first we were all a little like eye-rolly about, but like now I even feel like weddings aside for my own personal Instagram game, I'm like the only way to step it up is to have a drone.
You're not wrong. And I have yeah. actually thought about this a lot lately because
yeah.
my mind was single-handedly changed by one of our coworkers' drone wedding picture.
Yeah.
Because I was vehemently opposed to that, just in theory. But then I saw this, like, ethereal Hawaiian wedding shot.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you can physically only do that with a drone, so maybe we all need to invest.
Right,
for
exactly.
the sake of our followings.
And Tess, you also just went on an amazing honeymoon to Greece, and you were posting, like, I mean, I feel like it's impossible to take a bad picture there, was what it yes. seemed like, because it's so beautiful. But was there a part of you that was like, the only way to step it up is like, I need a drone?
Yeah, when we were like on the ruins and shit. Like, right. No, right. I don't know.
Right.
I'm kidding. No, Michael brought like his, what he thinks is a professional camera. So we did that, and we're sorely lacking in drone photos.
Yeah. Well, you just have to go back. Like, so. I'm going to deep dive onto this on next week's podcast, drones. Just kidding, but maybe not kidding.
I love that.
Were there any traditions, before we just call some of our friends who have had some crazy wedding themes, were there any traditions at your wedding that were really, really important to you, or any that you were like, I am absolutely not doing X, Y, and Z thing?
I personally hate the bouquet toss.
Oh, so did you skip it?
I skipped it.
You skipped it. Did any? Was your mom like, you're not doing a bouquet toss?
No. Also,
no one cared.
Like, everyone loved their flowers. I was like, please take them with. Like, I don't know. I didn't want to give them to anyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, do people still do that garter thing?
I definitely feel like that is traditional, but it seems like it's kind of like fallen out of favor. Because I don't actually, I know like one person in my circle of friends over the past 10 years that did that.
Yeah.
But no one else did.
Because one of my mom's like older friends gave me her garter from her wedding
day.
Oh,
creepy.
And made a whole, like, it was like a whole debacle that she was like, I don't have a daughter, and so I'm giving this to you.
Oh, that's actually so sweet.
And I was like, oh God, I have to wear it. So I like put it on for her to come. She's never going to listen to this podcast.
Right.
It's fine. I put it on so she could like come see it, and then she left, and I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
That makes me uncomfortable. Yeah. I don't think I ever would have even thought of it had she not.
I didn't actually know that that was a thing that was like passed down through generations. Like, I think of a garter and being kind of like the underwear family.
Yeah.
Not that it's underwear. I think it isn't like touch your special parts.
Yeah. I think this was the exception to the rule, and had some kind of sentimental value to her, and she just wanted to see it passed on.
It's actually so sweet.
I mean, like, poll, like, would you give someone your garter? I don't know.
Tweet us and let us know. And definitely let us know, all you podcast listeners out there, let us know if you've had a themed wedding. We'll read your letters on the next episode.
Yeah.
And speaking of themed weddings, let's go ahead and call up one of our friends that did, in fact, dive deep into a crazy wedding theme. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right.
So exciting.
Our first guest today took her love of Harry Potter, one of my faves, and turned that into the theme of her wedding. Here to share with us all the details of her unique day is Alicia Bales. Welcome, Alicia. How are you?
I am doing good.
Good. When was your wedding?
It was just this past November 12th.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
And so why did you decide to have an untraditional wedding?
Well, my relationship with my now husband, it still feels a little weird, even though it's been a few months, has been non-traditional the whole time. I was the first to approach him. I asked him on the first date, and we decided to get married as a couple, and then I actually was the one to propose.
Aww.
And so it only felt right for us to have our wedding be untraditional, just to kind of go along the lines of how our relationship has been.
And are you a huge, huge, huge Harry Potter super fan?
That's an understatement. I have two Harry Potter tattoos. My car is named after a Harry Potter character. It's been a huge part of my life.
So when you kind of knew you wanted maybe all along to have an untraditional wedding, it probably almost felt like a no-brainer to go with a Harry Potter theme.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole part of Harry Potter is that it's magical.
Yeah. You know,
which is wizard's magic. And getting married is magical. And it seemed obvious and fitting and perfect.
And so how did you incorporate the Harry Potter theme into your wedding dress?
So there was a bunch of different things that happened. Some of them, there were some surprises that I didn't even know that happened that were Harry Potter themed. But the main thing was I wanted to put in just nice little ties to it. So I created posters, you know, the wanted poster of Sirius Black that they had up everywhere, and then they had of Harry Potter. I put that, and I put the picture of my husband and I in it and told everybody wanted to, you know, fall in love, drink, dance, and have fun with your friends tonight.
Aww.
And in our vows, we spoke about Harry Potter, and bunch of different signs. Our cake was the Monster Book of Monsters, and it had a snitch on it that my friend made for me.
That's like a deep ref. That's not just like a Sorting Hat cake.
No, it was amazing. My friend offered to make it for us. And so I just kind of said, well, you know, I love Harry Potter. I'm going to leave it open to you. He also loves Harry Potter. And so I said, whatever you think will look great, go ahead and do it. And it turned out better than I could have ever expected.
And how did you find a Harry Potter themed location?
Well, I have been dancing since I was 3 years old, and I teach dance lessons in a dance studio in Chicago, and it's part of this fine arts building, and they have a theater inside of it that they just restored. It's been out of commission for, I don't even know, a really long time, and it was rotting, and they redid it, and when they let us go and look at it for the first time after it was remodeled, it just felt so magical, almost like in the movies when you go into the Great Hall for the first time. I knew this was perfect, and it just fit with me being a dancer, being on stage my whole life, and then also having that magic aspect of Harry Potter.
I'm just like getting goosebumps. It sounds so magical. Did you work with a wedding planner or anyone closely to help you plan all of these special details?
No, I did it all myself. We paid for everything on our own, so we had a budget that we had to work with, and a wedding planner was not part of that. But I will admit, I love planning things, and that was really fun for me. So even if we did have the money for it, I don't think I would have hired a planner.
Right. You wanted to be involved, and you had a really specific vision that you wanted to sort of see through. So if you weren't working with a planner and you were kind of dealing with vendors and stuff like that on your own, or it sounds like you had a lot of friends that were involved in lending their creative talents, did you run into anybody that you felt like really like didn't get the theme or sort of didn't get what you were going for? Or do you feel like most people, you said Harry Potter and they were like, I get it?
I think the Harry Potter thing a lot of people got, but I think when it came to the untraditional aspects of my wedding, I did get a lot of pushback just because I didn't wear a white dress and I didn't have bridesmaids or groomsmen. Our flower girl was a drag queen, and people were like, what are you talking about? What are you doing? And, you know, I luckily am a strong person. I was like, no, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. And so I did, and it was wonderful. But, you know, there was parts where it was hard where people kept saying, no, you can't do that. That's not a wedding. I'm like, that's my wedding and I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Well, one thing that Tess and I were talking about before we jumped on the phone with you is that I think with social media, it has sort of been a real spark of creativity for a lot of people. You know, 10 years ago, maybe you felt more like you had to stick to the sort of traditional wedding. But like now, I'm sure your images from your wedding are floating around the internet somewhere. And it's just easier to sort of get inspired and get ideas. Do you feel like anyone in your own circle of friends or in your family was inspired by your wedding?
Absolutely. I actually have a friend who's getting married this October, and she's also having the same wedding, and she's doing a Halloween theme. And she's struggling with a lot of the same things that I did. And so she'll come to me and say, is it okay that I have this? Because it's non-traditional. And I said, do you remember what I did at my wedding? You can do whatever you want. It's your day. And I think that's helped her out a lot when she gets pressure from other people to say she has to have something some way. She can look at what I did and say, you know what? She did it, and it was fine. And I can do that too.
Yeah, you're like, girl, remember the drag queen. You're like, it's okay. Did you have a favorite detail or moment from your wedding?
No, I think there would be two. Obviously, having my husband and I say our vows to each other was, and I'll try not to get emotional, but it was the most amazing moment ever. But there was a huge surprise that my husband and some of my friends put on for me. So as I walked down to the aisle, which I did walk down to Hedwig's theme from Harry Potter, but as I got about halfway down the aisle, everyone in our audience stood up, and they all had homemade wands that my friends made. Aww. And they stood up and they lifted their wands and they said Lumos, and my knees buckled. I had to grab onto my dad. I thought I was going to pass out. It was so amazing. I have goosebumps thinking about it.
Oh my God, I'm like,
so do I.
Yeah, I'm like crying. That's so sweet and so special. And I feel like also proves that those sort of, you know, there's been so much industry around weddings, and sometimes it feels like you have to spend $1 million to have these special details. But that feels like a really sort of homegrown touch that ended up being obviously such a highlight.
Oh, yeah. And I think exactly what you just said, you don't have to spend a ton of money to have a special wedding. Having a special wedding means that you make the details about you instead of about traditional wedding. And that's how my wedding came together, and we didn't break the bank.
Do you feel comfortable sharing how much you spent on your wedding?
Yeah, I'll try and calculate exactly what it was. You know, we probably spent, and this, I'll take the ring out of it because my husband and I both paid for the ring together. Mm-hmm. Because again, the whole non-traditional thing. But I would say 10 to 15,000 max.
Yeah, good for
with
you.
Food, booze, decorations, venue, dress, everything together was probably at about that. Just because, honestly, going the non-traditional route, you save a lot of money.
Yeah, I think that's really, and thank you for being honest about that. I think that's important for people to know, because I think sometimes people think if you're going to have, you know, if you really want to go hard on a theme, almost like that will cost more. But it sounds like I'm sure there were some things that you cut out that are sort of more traditional, and then you could spend that money in the sort of more meaningful ways.
Oh, absolutely. And getting a non-traditional dress, too, saved me so much money. My dress was actually a pageant dress that was silver with tons of rhinestones on it and feathers. And not going to a bridal store where they jack the prices up just because it's a wedding saved me so much money.
That's amazing. And did you guys go to Harry Potter World for your honeymoon?
I wish we did not. We went to Jamaica just because, as any bride knows, planning a wedding is so stressful, and all I wanted to do was have a drink in hand 24/7 and lay at a beach.
Yeah.
But I actually just went to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter last month, so
my fix in. Oh my God. Yeah, I guess you have a whole lifetime to go to the Harry Potter world. And so if you could do it all over again, is there anything you would do differently?
You know, I think the only thing that I regretted was not starting the day earlier. I live in Chicago, and we do everything late at night. I mean, if you get to the bars before 11, there's no one there. And so that's kind of the mindset that I was in when I was planning my wedding. So we didn't start our ceremony until 7:30. And I felt really rushed because, honestly, all I really wanted to get to was dancing and hanging out with everybody. And I think if we would have started a little bit earlier, I wouldn't have felt so rushed. But when it came to the details and the execution of them, there's nothing I would have changed. It was absolutely amazing.
What a good feeling to have, to feel like everything about it was perfect. And that the only thing is you wish it could have been even longer. Tess is herself. Tess, who's also on the line, herself is a newlywed. She got married, what was it, less than a month ago, Tess?
It was a month ago yesterday, not that I'm counting.
Right. Oh my gosh, congratulations.
Thank you, too.
And Tess, before we let Alicia go, I just wanted to know if you had any last questions, bride to bride.
You know, it was really interesting to hear you say that you got a lot of pushback for your decisions, because I feel like most people try and respect a bride's vision. So I'm wondering if, when everything played out perfectly and you were so happy that day, if you felt that people kind of saw your vision come together and were like, oh, this is what she was trying to do the whole time.
Like, did you convert them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did. I think I've always been the crazy friend, the non-traditional friend. And I think one of the biggest things that, I don't know if it's necessarily pushback, but people voicing their opinions on things sometimes was the dress, saying, are you sure you're not going to regret not wearing white? This is your one opportunity to wear white. And I think everyone has well intentions when they bring those things up. But at the same time, no, I don't regret it at all.
Yeah, good for you. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your special day with us, Alicia.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Yes. Talk soon.
Yes. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Our next guest is making her second return here to Cosmopolitan.com's Happy Hour podcast. She's a professional bridesmaid and author of Always a Bridesmaid for Hire, Stories of Growing Up, Looking for Love, and Walking Down the Aisle for Complete Strangers. Welcome, Jen Glantz. Hi, Jen.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for coming back. That must mean you like us.
I love this show. It's one of my favorites.
I don't know why I just like started this interview off by like setting you up to compliment me, but whatever. That's how it's going. So Jen, we are talking all about untraditional weddings and specifically crazy over the top themed weddings. No one in the world probably has been to more weddings than you have. Can you tell us about the craziest or sort of most non-traditional wedding you've been a part of?
Sure. So I've definitely seen this as a trend over the past couple of years. People are stepping out of the box of doing the generic and instead infusing their own personalities and their own interests in their weddings. I once worked a wedding for a bride who had a Doctor Who themed wedding, which was super cool.
Wow.
Most recently, I worked a wedding for a couple who did almost a fairy tale vibe for their wedding. So the bride was a princess, the groom was a knight, and that's what they went with. So I have really seen it all, but I think it's really cool that the trend is going this way.
And you, how many weddings have you probably been to in total? Just an estimate.
So in the past 3 years of working this job, I have worked with over 80 clients and been to a lot of those weddings.
Oh my gosh. So do you prefer the non-traditional weddings just in the sense that you've gone to so many, it's kind of fun to see someone do something really crazy, or do you not really have a preference?
I really prefer the non-traditional weddings. I think that these days society makes it so easy to have a paint-by-numbers wedding where you know exactly what to do, exactly what's going to happen. So when you go to a wedding when there's a twist or you walk into a reception and you see a theme that you would never guess you'd see, it's a really cool vibe and feeling for your guests.
And so do any details from any of these like crazy weddings you've been to really stand out to you in terms of something in particular that was so over the top, like the way a bride made an entrance or like a really elaborate piece of decor?
Yeah, I worked a couple weddings at museums. They were not traditional wedding venues. So a lot of what made that really cool was the artwork all around. It kind of made it feel like the wedding was being taken over by the museum, and that was awesome. I did a wedding where a bride released doves, and that was really cool.
What?
I did a wedding where I had to walk a dog down the aisle, and that was right before the bride's grand entrance. So people are adding in whether it's a hobby or a pet that they love or just something cool and magical they've always wanted. They're adding that into their entrances and to their overall wedding.
Wait, Tess, did you incorporate your dogs into your wedding at all?
No,
Tess has two dogs that she loves.
My dogs are crazy animals. They can't be tamed, and it would have not ended well. But the dove thing is intriguing.
I feel like any kind of incorporation of live animals is just like taking it to another level.
Right, you're asking for it to be beyond your control.
Right.
That's a little scary.
Exactly. It's like your guests are animals enough.
But to each
their
own.
I was going to say that sometimes you're... pets are more behaved than your wedding guests, so maybe having touch fair kind of set the standard for your guests. Who knows?
And so as a bridesmaid for hire, Jen, do brides ever ask you for opinions or feedback about the theme or style of their weddings?
Sure. So oftentimes brides will ask me for my opinion on how they should make their wedding unique. I think a lot of people are over this trend of having an extravagant $100,000 wedding, and instead they're looking for something different, something unique, and on a very small budget. So a lot of what I do is help brides figure out exactly the kind of wedding of their own personal dreams and try to make it happen on a budget that's not going to make them go broke after their wedding, and that's definitely doable.
Yeah, we actually just talked to someone before we jumped on the phone with you that estimated that she spent about $10,000 to $15,000 on her Harry Potter-themed wedding, which is about $10,000 below, I think, what is the national average. I think the average that people spend on weddings is about $25,000.
Yeah, and I think getting away with 10, 15, even 5 grand will make you enjoy your wedding a little bit more because you know that it's not costing you an arm and a leg to put on. You know, sometimes I go to these weddings that are so expensive, and the bride, the family, everyone's just uptight because they know how much it costs and they want to make sure they get the best value, and that doesn't always happen.
Oh my god, yeah, my mom feels uptight if we like go to dinner and the cocktails cost more than $5, which is like typically everywhere in New York. Tess, who is here because she is a newlywed herself, she got married 1 month and 1 day ago, she just told me. She did not have a crazy themed wedding. She had a more, I guess as we would say in this episode, traditional wedding.
I did.
But very beautiful and special. But one thing that Tess said when we were chatting earlier is that she was sort of inspired by Beauty and the Beast and wanting that kind of like fairy tale glamour. And I was saying that's very trendy right now with the, you know, the revival coming back. Do you see that a lot as well, Jen, that sort of things that are sort of spiking in pop culture end up creating trends in the bridal industry?
Definitely. And a lot of those trends happen because of movies, but most likely they happen because of celebrities. You know, if the Kardashians have a wedding and they do something, then people are going to copy that. Or, you know, if the prince and princess are doing something and everyone else is going to copy what they have. So it's really a copycat kind of environment where everyone just wants to have what the big celebs, the big influencers, and the big movies are having.
Yeah, and good for Kim. She's had multiple weddings, so it's like double, triple the amount of inspo.
Oh, for sure. You never know how many more she may have in the future, so you could all stay tuned for that.
Oh my God, I believe in Kimmy forever. I'll fight you on that, Jen. Yes. Well, Jen, thank you so much. We always love having you on the podcast. And where is the best place for people to get more info about your amazing, fabulous, crazy career of being a bridesmaid for hire?
Oh, thank you. People can find me at bridesmaidforhire.com. They can check out Always a Bridesmaid for Hire on Amazon or bookstores. And if they want to email me personally, it's jenglantz@gmail.com.
Thanks so much, Jen.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Celebrity planner Sharon Sachs of Sachs Productions directs, orchestrates, and conducts extraordinary events for some of the world's most elite clients. A few of her notable celebrity weddings were for Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, Michael Jordan and Yvette Prieto, as well as Lily Aldridge to Caleb Falwell. You can tell I don't know how to pronounce any celebrities' names. She has worked on behalf of other celebrities such as the Olsen twins, Jennifer Lopez, Ben Affleck, and Madonna, no big deal. Sharon not only predicts current trends, but also sets the stage for them. She frequently appears on shows including Entertainment Tonight, The Insider, Extra, TV Guide, Access Hollywood, and E!, and was most recently named as one of the 7 celebrity wedding planners to put on your radar by InStyle magazine. So there is no one better to join the podcast to talk about extravagant weddings than Sharon. Hi, Sharon. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Great. You have quite the client list there.
It's been great and fun. I love it.
You love it. So when you have, so you're obviously dealing with clients that have probably unlimited budgets, have huge dreams, and know that their wedding is going to be photographed and seen by millions of people around the world. So when you have a client that makes an outrageous request that is nearly impossible, how do you handle it? Is your MO that you can make anything come true?
Well, our MO is there is no no in our vocabulary. Mm. We search and research and we make it happen.
So have you ever had to tell a client no?
No.
No, you may get...
I have never said no. I may have altered the look.
Okay,
By a touch, like somebody who wanted to be, you know, my bride wanted to be dropped onto the dance floor. Ah. So what we did is, we, instead of bringing her in the way she wanted, we brought her in another way.
Okay.
But she did come down from the ceiling.
Okay. She floated down from the ceiling like magic. And so, yep. You know, I think it's so common for so many people to turn to celebrity weddings for inspiration. Since you were the one who was planning the celebrity weddings, where do you get inspiration? How do you make these over-the-top magical events happen?
You know, fashion is an incredible way of sort of inspiring me, and even nature. You know, I may look at a shape of a tree and I may get an idea for the way the backstage should look for the band. You know, old films are an incredible inspiration for me. Stairwells. It's, you know, when you look at things, there's a bigger picture than just what you're seeing here and now. And if you take an extra second, I think you'll be surprised at what you can develop from it.
And so in some ways, you are truly an artist in that way, taking inspiration from everything in the world. Do you feel like you are sort of plotting, you know, you see an elaborate staircase and it sort of gives you an epiphany or idea? Are you almost filing these ideas away in your own brain and then sort of waiting for the client with the right sort of vision to come along? Or do you normally have someone specific you're working for and then you sort of open up your brain to what might work for that person?
I think it's the latter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found myself walking down the street and Chanel had a incredible fashion show outside, sort of on their video screens.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at it for a moment, one turn in the runway gave me an idea and it got put away. And then, you know, it's not stored. It usually becomes an inspiration as a result of the bride I'm working with.
Hmm. Okay.
So, you know, I'm looking at it and then I think that would be perfect for her, you know?
And so does a Kim Kardashian type, does she come to you with a, you know, a very specific idea of what she wants? Or are people usually coming to you saying like, I want something really cool that's never been done before. What can you do for me?
You know, all the celebrities that we work with are incredible because, you know, they've seen it all, they've experienced it all. So they come to us with an understanding of a little bit of what they want. But more humble, there is not. And it's an honor to work alongside of celebrities.
Mm-hmm. Is there one wedding in particular that you are the most proud of planning and pulling off, and why?
I loved my first wedding.
Hmm.
And it was a wedding that took place at a private estate, and we had an orchestra performing for the ceremony. We had a named performer singing Ave Maria just before the bride came down the aisle. We had 60 violins on the stairwell for cocktails. And then the guests found themselves in this magnificent tent that they had a band. And then from the band, they had a named performer. And then from there, they went to two other performers, named performers for that night. You know, it wasn't a celebrity, but it was the greatest kickoff for me in this industry ever.
Yeah, that's a really high bar to have set at your first wedding.
I had to build a tent just for the entertainers. I had over 140 entertainers.
Oh my gosh. I think traditionally, you know, most of us pedestrians who are planning weddings, we think about working with a caterer and working with a florist.
Right, right.
But you're planning events on such a huge scale. Are there sort of some unexpected people that you call on? Like, I would almost think that you would be consulting with, I don't know, set designers or just some people that are sort of a different scale.
I absolutely do. We work with set designers. We work with art departments sometimes at the studios. We work with an incredible array of floral designers from, you know, Jeff Latham to whomever. It's all about tapping into who can deliver the best product for the house we're building, as I would like to call it.
Mm.
You know, because we start at scratch. So there's a whole understanding of, you know, building a model.
Mm-hmm.
And why do we build a model? We build a model because then the client has no doubt. They can see the scale. They understand everything. So we reach out to absolutely everyone that can bring simplicity to the understanding of what this extravagant night is going to be about.
Hmm. And is there a commonality in the clients you work with, something that everyone sort of wants, like a theme that people are asking you for or a special touch people ask you for again and again?
You know, there's no greater gift and there's no greater touch than having your guests not feel separated from you, but feel a part of you.
Hmm.
And that is about you, the bride and groom, being active in your night.
Hmm.
You know, I just left my bride now, a new bride, and she was saying to me that you know, sometimes she goes to weddings and the brides sort of and the grooms don't make themselves as available as should be. Mm-hmm. And her words to me were, I want to be with my guests in the center of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be distant. And what that creates is a feeling of family and love.
Mm.
And that's the energy that all my brides want as their guests are leaving.
That's amazing. So one thing we've been talking in particular about on the podcast are people who have specific themed weddings. And I'm talking Harry Potter, Star Wars, things like that. It's been a big trend. I think it's really been fueled by social media. What do you think of those kinds of theme weddings?
There's something for everyone, you know. Have I done one? No, but I know that I was on Maria Menounos and Kevin, her fiance, and he was talking about that he wanted to do a, you know, Star Wars or, you know, one of those type of weddings.
Mm.
And, you know, it's amazing, but some people want to turn it into such a night of frolic and fun. I mean, some people get married on Halloween.
Right.
Which gives them a feeling of dress up to a specific theme.
Right.
Some
right.
people get married on a ship in New Orleans, and they turn it into a Mardi Gras ship. So there's always somebody who wants to not just have the wedding be the theme, but they want to add a little extra touch.
And all about
that has not been
fun.
A request that I've received.
Not yet, but probably will be
not
someday.
Yet.
And you won't say no,
Kevin
of course.
And Maria, we're talking about it. But.
So you'll have to circle back with them. And then final question, are there any trends you're totally sick of in weddings?
Sick of. You know, I don't think I'm sick of anything.
You're such a romantic.
You know, I think the theme is romance, you know, and sometimes people do it one way or another, and it's all about the bride and the groom. And I'm loving, you know, one of my brides didn't want to have one wedding cake, which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah.
And so what we did when it was time for the wedding cake is we brought a smaller wedding cake to the center for the bride and groom. And all of a sudden, coming to each table was an individual cake that had a picture of the bride and groom during their relationship.
That's so cute.
And then so each table, the waiter was there cutting the cake for them. So the guests cut the cake the same time the bride and groom did. And I think that made it a lot of fun. A lot of brides and grooms are sort of turning away from, you know, the dressed wedding cake, so they're going undressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not as big a deal anymore.
Mm-hmm. I love that with multiple cakes. Cake is always
yeah,
one of my
phenomenal.
Favorite parts. Well, Sharon, thank you so much for sharing all of your expertise and insight with us. You do such amazing work, and it's so fun to see the over-the-top glamorous celebrations that you put together. Thanks so much.
Well, it's an honor to be a part of Cosmopolitan.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tess, it was so fun to spend the last, I don't even know how many minutes, talking about weddings with you.
Thank you so much for doing this with me. All I wanted was to talk more about weddings.
All you wanted was to talk more about weddings. Is there anything in the past, however many minutes, why do I keep saying that? I don't know. But anything in our phone conversations you learned that you wish you'd known before your wedding? Handmade Harry Potter ones,
I mean,
maybe?
Yeah, I guess I, like, wish I cared less what people think.
Yeah.
Because it takes, like, a certain kind of person to be like, I don't care what anyone thinks, and I very much respect that, but it's not me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good for everyone we talk to who, like, does her own thing. That's awesome.
So if you could do it all again, you would do it exactly the same way.
I just wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah. You would do it all the same, but you would care less.
Yes.
Well, Tess, thank you so much for joining us. And do you want to, we always finish by having you shout out your Twitter handle. So if people have wedding questions or anything else that they want to talk to you about, they know where to find you.
Sure. My Twitter handle is terribly embarrassing, but it is Tessie, T-E-S-S-I-E, _the_mess.
Tessie the mess, _
It was like 2011. It's fine.
we all have that social handle hiding in our past. Well, Tess, thank you so much. And as always, you guys can find me everywhere at Elisa Benson. I love to hear from you. Let me know what you want to hear hear us talk about on a future episode of the Cosmopolitan.com Happy Hour podcast. And thank you, as always, for listening. Please share it and like it and rate it and email me if you feel like it. Love hearing from you guys. And I'll see you next week. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.